Welcome to the God-Centered Recovery Podcast, brought to you by Narrow Gate Ministries. This podcast is dedicated to giving you a God-centered approach to recovery and to life. Follow along. Let's get started.
All right, man. Welcome back to the God-Centered Men's Recovery Show. I am glad you made it here. If you're new here, this is a show dedicated to Christian men inside of recovery to live an awesome, spirit-filled life. If that is you, you come to the right place. So starting off, we're going to get into the recovery quote of the day, and that is this: it doesn't matter how slowly you go, as long as you do not stop. And you know what I get from this is that progress sometimes is slow. I remember going over my recovery journey and starting pretty much one addiction at a time. And it was a process that happened throughout a couple of years. And slowly but surely, one addiction began to fall off, and then another, and then another. And the danger that we do is that we try to take on the whole elephant all at the same time. And we say, you know what, I'm going to quit every single sin, and I'm going to live holy. And the fact of the matter is that God's holiness is often progressive. And that is, it happens little by little, step by step. These things begin to fall off as we progress upon the path that God wants us to progress on. But here's what we do. We grab our club and we start beating ourselves up because we haven't overcome a certain situation yet. And so this, I would say, give yourself grace. Take it easy on yourself. Begin one thing at a time and progress forward. What does that mean? That means if you are tackling alcohol, I wouldn't tackle nicotine at the same time. And that is that to focus first on getting sober and getting some clarity inside of your mindset and your belief system, get some positive routines beginning to happen in your life. So when you step to conquer the next addiction, you already got victory under your belt. And that's really important because you're communicating to yourself that God is working through you and that you have the power to overcome. But if you're trying to do everything at the same time, you're communicating something different. And that is this burden and this load pressing you down. And you often fall under the weight of it. So move slowly, progress forward, listen to the Spirit of God. And step by step, little by little, you'll see this awesome transformation beginning to happen inside of your life. So the recovery question of the day is this: what do you do in a daily fashion that strengthens your recovery? Now, I do multiple different things. I focus on my frame, which is my family, my faith, my fitness, and my finance. And I say, what am I going to do today to make investments inside of those areas of my life? That is one of the key things that makes my sobriety and makes it really filled with the abundant life that Jesus has called us to live. Second to that is work. And that I know that, you know, many of us come into these addictions, some through loss of jobs, some through disabilities and different stuff like that. But one of the best things that you could do is begin to focus on the deposits in your life and begin to do something productive with your hands. And if you find yourself in a disability or in unemployment, that doesn't hinder you from doing work. Doing work is one of the key things that clears our mind and gets us stop focusing so much on the inward dialogue that is going on, and it gets us focused on something else. And this is very healthy and a very biblical prescription to happen inside of your life. Nothing good can happen with laziness. Nothing good can happen with idleness. Okay, so focusing on making the deposits in your life and get to work in some way or fashion helps very much inside of recovery. Also, I want to throw this out there is that when you're first starting out, exercise. You need to release a lot of the anger and frustration that you're feeling, and you need a rush of positive endorphins to come your way where drugs used to make that happen for you. And so what you do, you begin to start doing that naturally, and you release the negative energy and you begin to release the positive things inside of your brain, which helps you a lot inside of addiction and recovery. So we are going to dive into our episode today. We are talking about Proverbs. We're going to start there in chapter 1. As we know, this is mostly written by Solomon, who was the son of King David. And it is written with the mindset of thoroughly understanding and grasping the wisdom of a father to a son. I think it's really important to understand that. So starting out, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding." I'll read that one more time. "To know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding." And here's the reality as men. We are called. It is the purpose of God for us to know wisdom. And I'll say that again, to know wisdom. Now, in this world, we get to know a lot of different things, right? Especially in the field of education, we get to know mathematics, and we know science, and we know political science, and we know how the world works, and all of these different things. But the Bible is saying here to know wisdom. And I want to relate it especially to our recovery journey and how important it is for us to know wisdom. And so in addiction, we know a lot of different things, right? We know how to use drugs. We know how it makes us feel. We know a lot. We gain some street smarts. And if you lived in the hood and involved with gang life, you know, you begin to know gang life and all that different stuff. And this is contrary to all of that. This is to know wisdom, to know wisdom. These things, talking about the Bible, were written that they might know you, right? This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so the very word was written for us to have knowledge and for us to grasp that in an experimental mindset and to begin to make application to the words that are being spoken. And it's all about this intimate knowledge. What does know mean in the Hebrew? If you've been around church for any length of time, you know this word know. It's not a very short definition word. It means so much. But starting out, you know, in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, it says that Adam knew Eve and they conceived a child. And then later on, it says Cain knew his wife and he conceived a child, right? And so this word know is talking about being intimately acquainted with someone. So much so that they used it for the word of intimacy, to have sex with someone. And so when we know that, when we understand that, this idea of knowing wisdom is not something that we could just skim by and say, oh, we just need to intellectually know. No, we need to be intimately acquainted with wisdom. And this is important inside of our recovery. What did Jesus say in the Gospels? That the defining moment when he said, you know, he was going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And what that means is he was saying that, you know what? We're not intimately acquainted. We're not connected. We don't know each other. And so it even stresses the more importance on this intimate relationship. You see, a lot of times what we want is we want a code. We want a cheat sheet. We want the magic formula. Not understanding that all of this is wrapped up inside of our relationship with God. And everything that we need comes from that relationship. And so we should abandon our quest for a magic code and a secret cheat sheet and some magic formula that is going to magically make us better, and begin to understand that we need to get intimately acquainted with God. And so starting out in the book of Proverbs here, it's coming from a father to a son. And this is the way this recovery journey begins, is that we approach God like our father. Now, we approach God in that manner. Now, this might be hard for some of us. I know it was pretty hard for me, and it took time to get to that point, especially if we've had abusive fathers in the past, and they really didn't love us, and they didn't nurture us, and they didn't give us any form of masculinity or anything like that. It makes us hard for us to relate as God, as Father. But when you look at this and say, you know what, that I'm part of the family, and he is my father, and he is the great king, and he has created the universes, and I am his child, and that I can come to him and ask and to seek wisdom, and it would be supplied for me. So this is the ultimate of father imparting wisdom to his son. And he's saying, you know what, if you want to live successful, you want to live empowered in this recovery journey, you want to have the abundant life that is spoken of, then wisdom is going to be the key ingredient inside of your life. You see, we fail and falter inside of our lives because we lack required ingredients. Weakness, at its core definition, is lacking required ingredients. And so if you look at men's lives and you say, you know what, I feel weak. I'm not strong. I'm not standing up. I'm not standing on the word. I'm not doing all of these different things. And I'm failing. I'm faltering and all these things. It comes down to the lack of the required ingredients. And one of the key ingredients inside of this recovery journey is wisdom. So to know wisdom, that means to recognize it. That means we see it when it comes to our mind. And that can come through something like this, something that you're listening to or something that you're watching. And you hear wisdom and you say, you know what? I recognize that. That is a powerful reality. That is wisdom. I'm going to heed that. It could come through spiritual mentors in your life, through somebody who is discipling you, which I highly recommend. If you don't have somebody discipling you, I recommend that. This is the mandate of the gospel, to go and to make disciples. And so it can come in the form of a mentor relationship. It can come in the form of listening to something on TV. It can come in the form of your parents. It can come in multiple different forms. But when it comes, it is a spoken word of wisdom. And we can grab it, or we can release it. It's totally up to us. So moving on, understand and experience wisdom. Now, wisdom is far different from knowledge, I must say. Knowledge is to gain information and data and have it, you know, up here in your mindset. But wisdom is the application of that and the experimental knowledge of that wisdom. And I think that is really important. So, what is wisdom? Why might wisdom be important? First off, I want to thoroughly point out that the book of Proverbs I strongly feel that wisdom as is impersonified, that it is spoken to like it is an entity, like it is a person. And through this, we understand that the logos, the word of God, the logic of God, the mindset of God, the paradigm of God comes forth in spoken word and revelation. And through this, we understand the whole concept of wisdom actually being a person. And that person, of course, is the source and God himself. So when I'm talking about getting thoroughly, intimately acquainted with wisdom, I am talking in a sense about a person who is there to instruct us and who is there to lead us. And that is God himself, intimately acquainted with wisdom. So wisdom is insight into your beliefs, your attitudes, and your actions. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Why might it be important to have insight into my beliefs? Why might it be important to have insight into my attitudes and my feelings? And why might it be important to have insight into my actions? And here is the way it works. That every action comes from an internal belief. Things become thoughts. Thoughts become belief systems and paradigms become actions that flow out of us. So wisdom is insight into your beliefs. And if you've been on this recovery journey long, you know that it is a process of challenging what you believe. Because the reality is what you have believed in the past has gotten you into a lot of trouble. What you have believed in the past has gotten you to this addictive substance. It has gotten to you this chaotic lifestyle and this overall life of pain. This is the results of that belief system. So wisdom is insight into that belief system. Saying, you know, why do I believe this? Why do I believe that, you know, God hates me and God loves me, God hates me, God loves me, depending upon my performance and my behavior? Why do I believe that, you know, that I must suffer and be in pain all the time? Why do I believe that this addiction is bigger than me? Why do I believe that poverty is supposed to be normality? Why do I believe all these things? And begin to get insight into your negative belief systems that are holding you back. Because the reality is, until we align ourselves, until we align our paradigm and our belief system with the Word of God and what He says and what He has spoken, we're going to continue in this frustrated lifestyle. And we'll never rise above our own self-perceptions. We'll never rise above our limited beliefs. And we'll stay in this state of just mediocre life. And, you know, in the end, there will be a lot of regret attached to that. So insights into your attitudes. This is really diving into, why am I feeling this? You know, why am I triggered this way? Why do I get angry when this happens? And just really looking at it. Stop being so impulsive and saying, you know what? I am triggered to respond in multiple different ways. I decide to consume pornography when. I decide to consume alcohol when. And you go into this and really ask yourself and the Holy Spirit that is inside of you, give me insight into my feelings. And what are these trying to indicate to me? And really begin to listen. Insight into your actions. If you are constantly doing behaviors that are detrimental to you, and you find yourself in this loop pattern of falling, sinning, confessing, repeating, and it's just over and over again, and there's no victory and there's no life, the best thing that you could do is begin to seek wisdom, to begin to listen to the voice of God and say, God, give me insight to my actions and to my behaviors. Help me understand the moment of choice in which I choose to go down this path so I can no longer go down this path in the future. And that's really, really important. So common sense. We heard, you know, common sense is not that common, right? And there's certain things that, you know, as we come into this recovery journey, that they should just be like common sense that we should grasp and that we should understand them. And one of the biggest things is that we have a choice on whether we decide to commit a sin or not. And the choice is ours. Now, we may be very impulsive and it may seem like we don't have a choice, but that is because we have allowed ourselves to set up a triggered response that hasn't been challenged yet. And so that needs to be challenged and that needs to be faced, and we need to gain the wisdom of God to begin to apply wisdom inside of that area. So, experimental application, knowing and experiencing wisdom. What does this mean? So let me tell you a story. There was a guy walking to work one day, and he walked along the same path every single day. And as he was walking down the path, he fell into a pothole, right? And it got his clothes all wet. and he got out of the pothole and he goes, oh man, that was terrible. And he continued on and he rested on a bench before he went to work so he could dry off, and then he goes to work. And so the next day he takes, of course, his same path, and he comes upon the same pothole, but this time he knows the pothole's there. And so he goes, you know what? I'm going to try to jump over the pothole. And so he runs and he jumps, and he doesn't miss it. He lands right inside the pothole again. He's like, oh, man. He gets himself off, goes, sits on the bench and dries off, and then goes to work. The third day, he comes back to the same path and he sees the same pothole, right? And then he looks over and he sees this 2x4 and he goes, you know what? I'm going to balance over this pothole. So he throws the 2x4 over the pothole and he begins to balance, right? And he loses his balance. He falls in the pothole and he's like, ah, man. He goes to the bench and he dries off and he goes to work. And the fourth day he comes on the path and he goes, you know what? There's a street farther down that has no pothole whatsoever. I think I'm going to go that way. And so he totally skips the street that has the pothole and he goes to work. And guess what? He's clean. He doesn't have to sit down on the bench and wait to be dried, right? And he avoided the obstacle and the situation that he knew was present there. So what I want to talk to you about is how this relates to wisdom. You see, when we face difficulties, we face challenges and situations much like this pothole. And we come upon them. And they just happen at times, right? And we see that we fall into the pothole. And we come up with all different kind of magical solutions on how we can overcome the challenge and how we could jump over and we could do this, that, and the other thing and blah, blah, blah. Not understanding that we could totally take a different path and avoid the temptation altogether. Now, this is what is taught in the Lord's Prayer, that lead us not into temptation. And that is, there's many times in our life where we don't have to face these challenges. Okay? And we don't have to continually bumping up against the same wall. I don't know about you, but I may be stubborn. I don't know. I've experienced, you know, a lot of bumping up against the wall. And I've come to understand with wisdom that that's not always required. That I don't have to always take the path, the knucklehead path, where I bump my head against the wall and I have to learn by consequence. I can totally choose to take a different route and avoid the temptation altogether. And many times this can begin to happen inside of our lives. So wisdom is coming on the situation and say, you know what? I've experienced this before. And because I've come up against this obstacle before, I'm going to begin to examine how I think and how I feel and what my triggers are naturally telling me to do. And I'm going to begin to examine them, and I'm going to make a better choice. You see, what is foolishness? Foolishness, you know, at its core definition, is having to learn by consequence and then failing to learn. And that is, you come upon this obstacle, this situation, this addiction, this temptation, and you bump your head against this. And you repeatedly do it over and over and over again, and you never learn the lesson. You never learn from your mistakes. So wisdom is learning from your mistakes. Wisdom is paying attention and learning through the situations of your life. So how can we learn from our mistakes? Well, when we break this down and we look inside of our family, faith, fitness, and our finances, these are the four areas of our life that cause us to live holistically. That these are basically, you know, the hierarchy of human needs, that these areas of our life need to have some sort of fulfillment inside of those to reach really overall fulfillment. And so you look inside of the area of your family. How might learning from your mistakes be beneficial to your family? And that is if you know that you're tempted in this area and you know that you repeatedly fall for this addiction, for this lust, for this perversion, for this pornography, for all of these things, and you know that that you have a triggered response to this, how is this affecting your family? I can guarantee you that it'll have a very negative impact. It'll have a negative impact on your intimacy with your wife. It'll have an impact on how your kids are raised if they follow the same pattern and they fall for the same vices and this, that, and the other thing. It'll have an effect upon your family. How is this wisdom going to, or the lack thereof, going to affect your faith? And that is, you know, we're constantly in frustration and condemning ourselves. And the reason why we're condemning ourselves is because we don't have respect for ourselves. You know, as we fall into these sins, there's a lot of shame associated with these sins. And it causes us not to respect ourselves. Now, in reality, it doesn't change God's perspective or God's love one bit. God's mood and behavior doesn't change, right? He doesn't say, okay, now all of a sudden I hate you now. Like, or all of a sudden I'm kicking you out of the family. You're no longer my child. This doesn't take place. But what does take place inside of our mind is we become somebody that we don't respect. And when we lose self-respect, all of these negative consequences begin to follow. And when it's brought to fruition, it brings an extreme self-hatred that self-sabotages your life around every turn and around every corner. And you'll never, ever be successful until you begin to rise up and become a person that you admire and that you respect. So how about fitness? How does wisdom play out in fitness? You know, if we continue in our folly of addiction, it begins to erode and it begins to tear down our body. It affects our mental health and our stability. It affects our heart, our liver, our kidneys, and so many things about us. And if it's pornography, it affects our mindset and our belief systems, and we lose once again our self-respect because we are supporting a system that is propagating off hurting other people. What about our finances? How does this folly affect our finances? It affects it in a great way because when we are in addiction, whether it be the shopping, to pornography, to alcoholism, to drugs, to whatever it is going to consume our resources. Addiction is a consumer, okay? So instead of making deposits and growth and development begin to happen, what begins to happen is deterioration and the taking away of those things. And it leads to a lot of frustration and to a lot of defeat inside of your life. And so we have reached our time. And so what I want to close with this, look inside your family, your faith, your fitness, and your finance, and ask yourself, where is their folly present? Where is their addiction, where sedation and all of these things are running its course? And begin to ask yourself this, God has called you to live free. Are you living free? Are you living free? I'll see you soon. Peace.